This Shabbos we take out two Sifrei Torah. We're going to learn Parsha Zohar. The Gemara in Megillah in Brochus has a discussion whether Kol HaTorah Kula B'Loshon HaKodesh Ne'emra or B'Chol Loshon Ne'emra. The thesis raises the question, what's the issue? What do you mean when HaKodesh Baruch Hu proclaimed Aseres HaDibros? Whether he spoke in Hebrew, he spoke in other languages. We assume he only spoke in Hebrew, he didn't speak in the other languages. What do you mean Kol HaTorah Kula? They says no, it's a shaila whether Yotze Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa in a language other than the original Hebrew. Where do you have Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa? So Taisa suggests maybe Parsha Zohar. That's the Chiddush. In Shulchan Aruch they quote that Yeshomim, there is an opinion that Parsha Zohar is Deraisa. Even the villagers that live so far away from Shul that they don't go to Shul Shabbos and Yontif, they should try to go to shul on Shabbos Parsha Zohar because of this opinion that the Parsha Zohar is a din derais. Sefer HaChinuch writes that only the men are obligated to hear Parsha Zohar, the women are not obligated because the women are not drafted in the army. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Kiddushin. Not supposed to draft women in the army. And the whole purpose of Parsha Zohar is we should remember the story of Amalek and we should wage war against them. So the women are not mechuyif to wage the war, they're not mechuyif to participate in the Muhammad, so therefore they're not mechuyif to Parsha Zohar. About 100 years ago, the Minchas Chinuch thought that that wasn't right. Minchas Chinuch raised an issue that women should be mechuyif in Parsha Zohar. Raised the question, why did the Sefer HaChinuch assume that women are potter? It's not so poshut. In Germany, there was a great Goyim, Amnas Nadler, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. He lived in Frankfurt originally, and he also had tainus on the Sefer HaChinuch. He thought that maybe women should be given Parsha Zohar. So in Frankfurt, they introduced a minig, some other places they have also, that a lot of the women have young children, so they don't go to shul in the morning. So Shabbos afternoon, before Mincha, after Mincha, whatever, they learn again Parsha Zohar without brachas to be mighty the women. The Prima Gadim raises the possibility that if you lay Parsha Zohar without brachas, maybe you're not Yotze. Why should you not be Yotze? Someone raised this possibility to Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. So he wrote a letter to the Dvar Avraham, and it's printed in the Sefer Dvar Avraham, that no Pesach ever said such a thing. Where'd you come up with no Pesach? The Prima Gadim raised the possibility. He never learned Prima Gadim. Okay. Why did Prima Gadim come up with such an einfall? Because the Gemara says in Brachas, in the second Perek, that it cannot be that a Brachas ma'akev in a Kiyam HaMitzvah. Let's say a person puts on talis and tefillin, and he didn't recite the Brachas HaMitzvah. So the Gemara says it cannot be that the Brachas ma'akev, because the mitzvah is the Raisa, and the Brachas is only the Rabbanon. How can it be that a Bracha that's only the Rabbanon is ma'akev in fulfilling the mitzvah the Raisa? So the Tosfei HaRosh writes on that Gemara, innocent comment, that from the Losh and the Gemara would appear that if you were to have a mitzvah with a brachas deraisa, maybe the pru would be miyakev. Or others want to say, if you have a mitzvah that's only the Rabbanon, if you have a mitzvah the Rabbanon, so maybe the bracha could be miyakev on a mitzvah the Rabbanon. The whole logic was, a bracha is only the Rabbanon, and the mitzvah is deraisa. How can you say that the bracha is miyakev with the mitzvah? But if the mitzvah is the Rabbanon, and the bracha is the Rabbanon, then there's room to say that Brachas HaMeyakfas in the mitzvah the Rabbanon. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has such a chiddush on Rashi. He dug up a Rashi in Sukkah that he thinks that Rashi seems to say that Brachas HaMeyakev on a mitzvah the Rabbanon. And the Prima Gadim raises the possibility based on that Tosfei HaRosh that on Parsha Zohar, where it's a chiv, the mitzvah is the Raisa, and the Gemara seems to say that Brachas HaTorah is the Raisa. The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Chof learns that from Sukkim that to recite Brachas HaTorah is a din deraisa. So since the bracha is deraisa and the mitzvah is deraisa, could be that the bracha would be miyakev the mitzvah. Yeah. The meaning is that they learn for the women, Parsha Zohar, they don't learn with their bracha.
Because deraisa means the morning
Right, so that's a further machlokes. Doesn't mean, the quote from the Yushalmi would appear that brachas HaTorah is only deraisa when you learn b'tzibur. A private person learns all day long that brachas HaTorah in the morning, that perhaps is only midirabbanan. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shagasari, says, not so. Shagasari says, someone came up to me this morning before davening, he says, what's the din if a person doesn't remember we said Brachas HaTorah? So I said, walk over to someone who didn't say yet and have him say the bracha for you. He'll be mighty you. But Shemei HaKoneh, that was a simple solution. Okay, so the guy says he should have realized on his own. But let's say he's home and he's not well, he can't go to shul. And there isn't you don't have a Shabbos going to Sadr. Again, ask someone else, you say the bracha and I'll be yotze with your bracha. So what do you do? So the Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Shagas Aryeh, who says that Birchas HaTorah is derais, and he quotes the Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvahs, Birchas HaTorah is derais, and Sofik derais, and Luchumr. You don't have to say all the brachas. Lasik b'divrei Torah, b'harav nor,
nashav
bocha banu.
Why, if you don't sleep at night, or you
Well, Mahmoud listened to someone else who's going to say the bracha anyway.
If you can.
Okay.
Abraham.
If you can't, I don't know. Maybe then Mishnah Berurah would say you do. What?
Abraham.
You can say Abba Rabba. Right. You can solve the problem of saying Abba Rabba. Yeah, correct.
Isn't the Shagat Ariya Bracha Shin and Sujla then? You could just say Abba Rabba and say your Mahmoud said it's not a Tokasafik.
Could be. Okay. Could be that he's talking about a case. Mishnah Berurah doesn't go into the details. Could be he's talking about a case. The guy finished davening Shacharis. Then he realizes that he's Mesupik if he said Birchas HaTorah. Av Rab is only good if Shana Al Asar. Only if he learned right after davening. If not Shana Al Asar. Shema. I don't know. I think we assume that not. You have to have learned something in addition to Shema.
So he can learn right after Shacharis.
Let's say it's later. He wakes up an hour after Shacharis.
He didn't say Ashrei.
He said Ashrei.
That's also Birchas
HaTorah. No, that's the Nusach HaTfilah. You have to learn something to demonstrate that the Avar Rabbi, you want the Avar Rabbi to serve as a Birchas HaTorah.
But like Hashlumin, we say, you say Ashrei before you're like Hashlumin, or if you are Nedava after Shemoneh Esrei, and then you can say, that way it's Mitoch Divrei Torah again.
It's a different Mitoch Divrei Torah, but Shema Yisrael, but like Shema, that's the Nusach HaTfilah. You say that every day. And Ashrei you say every day. So how can you say that you did something to demonstrate that you want Abba Rabba to serve as a Birchas HaTorah? You didn't do anything special. You say Shema every day. You say Ashrei every day.
But I think that Tosfot in Brachot does say that you're going to Kriyat Shema, at least according to one Gerson, the Yerushalmi.
I don't know if we paskin like that. Okay.
That
what?
And we don't say the bracha, it's not
ma'akiv,
and the
raisa,
the tefillah, not the
raisa. Right, the tefillah is the raisa, but the bracha is only the rabbanon.
So
the Gemara says you cannot say, the Gemara bracha says you cannot say that the bracha is ma'akiv, the mitzvah, bracha is only the rabbanon, the mitzvah is menator. How can it does make sense? But what if the bracha would be the raisa? What if the bracha would be the raisa? So then the Tosfot HaRosh says, from the Lashon HaGemara would appear, if you have a mitzvah, the raisa, with a bracha is needed, the raisa would be ma'akiv. It doesn't give you any case. So the Prima Gadim says, here you have it, Birchas HaTorah. So that's the question, Birchas HaTorah. Everybody in Shul said already Birchas HaTorah. Yeah. They didn't say on the Aliyah, on Parsha Zohar, they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. So the Prima Gadim is assuming that there's a possibility that Birchas HaTorah, their Isa goes only Birchas HaTorah by Kriyas HaTorah but Tzibur, Birchas HaTorah is their Isa. But a private person learns that Birchas HaTorah is only the Rabbanim. Birchas HaTorah by Kriyas HaTorah, their Isa. So Birchas HaTorah by Talmud Torah Barabim. That's their Isa.
Is that Mikra Kodesh?
No, Mikra Kodesh is that Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos and Yontif is their Isa. That's the Ramban HaChumash says that Tefillah B'Tzibur and Talmud Torah B'Tzibur and Shabbos and Yontif is their Isa based on Mikra Kodesh. Mikra means to gather together, a day of holy assemblage, to gather together. But who says that the Birchas HaTorah is their Isa? No, Parsha Zohar is the rice that the Gemara learns it from the Psukim. Then it says Zohar. Zohar means to remember. Yochel Balev, Talmalayim, Alay Sishkach, Arei Balev, Amahan, Amim, Kaim, Zohar. Zohar means Bepez, Zohar means Lahaskir, to mention. So the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk that you should learn Parsha Zohar. From the Rosh, it would appear, Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Trumas Adeshin, is Medayik from a Rosh, that Parsha Zohar, the rice requires a minion. If in Shulchan Aruch, it says, If you can't get a minion, at least you should learn Parsha Zohar from a Sefer Torah. Maybe the Trumas Adeshin's Diuk is not Mukhra, but Trumas Adeshin was Medayik from the Rosh. That it seems that you need a minion to fulfill the Parsha Zohar Deraisa. It has to be Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. So that's a question. If you hear Parsha Zohar on Shabbos afternoon, when they have the Kriya for the women, they don't say a bracha then. So according to the Prima Gadim raised the possibility. It could be that you're not Yotzei then.
Rabbi said that if you have a suffix, you should only say one of the Birchas HaTorah, but according to the Mishnah Berurah by Birchas HaMazon, he says that since the nifal in the suffix, when you do have a suffix the rest of the time, you do say the fourth bracha and go back and say all of them. So shouldn't we say the same thing over here?
It's a good question, but I don't know. It's a good question. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shagasari. If a person is misupek, let him not say all three. He yotz him in Torah with one. So he says, let him say one, and preferable to say Shabbachabon. Rather than to say Lasik de Risar or Harivnos, I say Shabbachabon, and the Gemara calls that the Mubcha Shabbachas, the best of all the three brachas, two or three, that we say on Bichas Hatar. Yeah, how often is one obligated to hear Parsha Zocha? So the Sefer Achinuch is Mesupik, whether once in a lifetime. You'd say once every several years, or maybe once a year every year, as our practices, as a Chachamim instituted. Why should it be once a year every year? So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he explains that the Gemara in Eilam Metzia says that the Shir Shikha is usually Yud Beis Chodesh. The Gemara says when a relative dies, Ein Ames Mishtakech Min Alev Adlach Yud Beis Chodesh. If you forget about the death of the relative after a year goes by, that's why the minig is in most places. The minig is. Yipuri do hakamas hametzevim. When someone dies, put hakamas hametzevim up by the Yud Beis Chodesh. Some have the minig right before the end of the Yud Beis Chodesh that you shouldn't forget about the mace, and some have the minig dafke after Yud Beis Chodesh. I've already forgotten about the mace. I put up a hametzevim to remind me. So Rabbi Kevager on Yeruday quotes the two minhagim. And I would say today the common practice is they put up the hametzevim sooner. Much sooner, way before Yud Beis Chodesh. But in Chutz Lo'aretz, in many places, that used to be the minhag. So the Chasam Sofer raises such a possibility. It could be that it's an obligation in our Torah once a year, every year, because it says Lo Yishkach, Zocher Lo Yishkach, Mashiach Shikcha, Yud Beis Chodesh. So maybe after Lane, once a year, every year. Reb Shlomo Levilna was a Kohen, so he wrote a Sefer. Binyan Shlomo. So he has a table of contents, and he writes the theme of the essays in the table of contents. So he writes that in one essay, he suggested that just like women are potter from Parsha Zohar, according to the Sefer Achinuch, so too Kohanim should be potter from Parsha Zohar, because you're not supposed to drift Kohanim in the army, because Kohanim are not allowed to be Metamei LeMeisim. So a Kohen, you're going to be in the army, you have to shoot to kill. So you're going to have dead bodies all over the place. So Kohen can't be drifted in the army. So if Kohanim are potter from Parsha Zohar, so if the Kohen happens to be the Balkurian Shul, he's Ein Mechid B'dovre, Ein Emoitzi HaSarav Medech HaVosim. He can't be Emoitzi the Tzibur with Parsha Zohar. So he writes very briefly in the table of contents. That's what he planned to print in this, in his sefer, in this essay. And his brother told him that it's all wrong, he should leave it out. So he left it out. He wrote the whole Shtigl Torah in the table of contents. So why is it wrong? That's the question, why is it wrong? So the Pashto says that it's wrong. There's a Mordechai in Gittin, where the Mordechai quotes a Gemara in Kiddushin that they did draft Kohanim into the army. That was an Asik during the First World War in Britain. The British government was drafting Jews into the army, and the Kohanim said, you can't draft us in the army, we can't serve in the army, you have to shoot to kill. So the chief rabbi had to give a psak. Chief Rabbi Gepaskin, based on this Mordechai. The Mordechai says there's a Gemara in the first Perek in Kiddushin about the Dinam of Yifastoyer. It says in the Chumash that Kiseitz Lamacham Aleivecha Nasan Hashem Alkecha Biyadecha Shavis Hashiv Yavirisa Bashiv Yeshis Yifastoyer. So she's not Jewish. So the Torah gives a special heta even though she's not Jewish. Be a Rishayin is Mutta, be a Shni is Mutta. The whole discussion mark exactly what is Mutta when. But some kind of kulis here. You have kulis, even though the girl is not Jewish, you have some kind of a weaker conversion over here. So the Gemara has a discussion, what if the soldier is a kohen? So not only is there an issue that she's not Jewish, even if she'll convert, but leif sholem, a giyoris is asur la kohen. So is the kohen who's a soldier with the two isurim involved? You say the chiddush of a fastar even allows him to take the fastar also? Oh no, maybe the Torah is only matan when there's one isur, when the two Yisurim, that's too much. But you see from the Gemara that you have soldiers in the army. The Gemara is talking about a Mechemes of Shus HaKosim Adabe. Could be. Kormashach Mechama, the Pashto says he just gives his Darosh and then he goes home. It sounds like he doesn't do any fighting. The Pasuk sounds like it's talking about a Kohen who's been fighting, a person who's been fighting in the war. And he's missing his wife for the longest time, and he falls in love with this Nachris. So the Torah has to take care of him, give him some kind of a head. Shoch Muhammad, Pasha Pshat is, he gives a drosh and goes home to his wife. So from the Gemara, would it be that you do draft Kohanim into the army? Yeah. What's the story with Pasha Zohar to remember to wipe out Amalek? The Amalekim are still around. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that if you look in the Rambam writes, Kva Obad Zichron, there's no more Amalek around. So there's a Sefer on Sefer HaMitzvah, Chemdas Yisrael. He has comments on the Sefer HaMitzvah. Very good comments. He writes, there is no such Rambam. The Rambam writes about the Zayin Umas, Kva Obad Zichron. The Gemara says, Bos Ancher Bilbal is called Olam Kulos. Ancher moved all the people around from one location to the other. So everybody's bottle bereif. Nobody knows who's Zaman and Moyev. Nobody knows who's Mitzvi Ve'edoimi. Nobody knows who the Zainumas are. So you don't have any of that. But the Rambam never wrote that regarding Amalek. The Rambam says that the dinim of Mochit, of Hakas, how does it say, by the Zainumas. Forgot the lashon hapos. You have to wipe out the zainumas. That mitzvah doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. In the dinim that you can't marry Amon from Amon Amoyav or from Amon Amoyav. He's also loved the call. A mitzvah v'adayim. You have to wait till the dor shlish. And the Rambam says all those dinim don't apply. Kvarobat zichron kos bas and chavi bol balas konvad by Amalek. The Rambam never said that. We assume Amalek is still around. The Gemara comments. Rashi Chumash has at the end of Parshas Bishalach when the Moches Amalek is described. So the pasuk says, "Ki yod al keis ko," Hashem swore by His throne, "Lachom al Hashem b'Amalek." So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, "Why is it keis ko should say kisei? God swears by His throne, so it should say kisei yud kei vav kei. Why does it say keis ko?" So Rashi says, "Because kol zman that Amalek is ba'olam, ein Hashem shalem, Hashem yud kei vav kei is incomplete, ve'ein akisei shalem." Kisei means the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. It doesn't look like it. We look around the world, you have tzaddikim who suffer, and you have rishayim who prosper. Tzadik v'ra'ala rosh v'l'hatovel, it looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is powerless. We believe the Ribbono Shel Olam has the full power to do whatever he wants. We believe that he's a good God, and he knows what's happening, and cares about what's happening. And we believe there's only one God. So we're stuck with Akasha. If you would say God created the world and he doesn't pay attention, he doesn't know what's happening, so you can't ask Akasha, how come you have Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh HaVetovel? If you would say that God is not kind, he doesn't care, so also Nishkin Kasha, he doesn't care if people suffer. Well, we believe, and if you say there's more than one God, so Hashem, so there's one God who's in control of the world, there's a different God who gave the moral, ethical, and the religious principles. So we don't accept any of the terutzim, and we say there's only one God in full control of everything, and he does care, and he knows what's happening, so why does he allow all of these terrible tragedies to occur? So we have a murderous kasha. So that's called the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. It looks as if he's impotent. It looks as if he doesn't have control. Ein HaKisei Shalem. So that's why the minig is that when you write, one of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim many years ago. So in Yerushalayim, when they write a ksuba, or when people get divorced, they write a get. So they write Yerushalayim Chasa Yud. Yud Resh Vav Shin Lamed Mem Yerushalayim. They don't write the last Yud because Yerushalayim is referred to in Sefer Yirmiyah as Kisei Hashem. It's the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because officially Yerushalayim is Al Pidin, the capital of Eretz Yisrael. It's both Migdash Melech and Ir Melucha. It's Ir Melucha. It's the capital city of Eretz Yisrael, and it's the Mokum of the Beis Hamikdash. It has two different dinim in it. The Gemara says the third bracha in the Birchas Hamazon wasn't composed till the days of David and Shlomo. The first bracha you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch that he gave us the food. The second bracha you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch al Ha'oretz over the fact that he gave us Eretz Yisrael. Third bracha you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch al Ha'oretz HaToivo. HaToivo is a reference to Yerushalayim. Ha'or HaToivo HaZev HaLavona. So you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch over the fact that he gave us Yerushalayim. Has both aspects. Yerushalayim being the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and also the Mokam Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, when the Mon came down from heaven, Moshe Rabbeinu composed the first brocha, Azanas HaKol. They had to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food. Then when Yeshua Ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, even though they had already given Eretz Yisrael from the days of Avraham Avinu, it was promised we were going to get it, but they didn't say, Noi Delechot, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be giving us Eretz Yisrael, until Yeshua Ben Nun actually conquered the land. So then he composed the second brocha in the Birchus HaMazon. To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim is only relevant after David HaMelech, establish Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael. First he was king in Hebron for 7 years, then he was king in Yerushalayim for 33 years. So David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, he wasn't allowed to. So David HaMelech composed half of the third Baruch on the benching. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim, functioning as the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Then Shlomo HaMelech was allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. He composed the other half of the third Baruch Hu. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Hora Tov Hazeh Yerushalayim, the both aspects of Yerushalayim, the aspect of the Ir HaMelucha, the capital city of Eretz Yisrael. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim as the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash. Today, we no longer thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We say, Rachim no. Avrachmanis HaMalchus Beis David Mishichech. Avrachmanis on the kingdom. Avrachmanis on the Beis HaMikdash. Please give us back everything. Pashta says that that's not their Raisa. The Pashta, the third Baruch Hu, is only their Raisa when you have it. When you have Beis HaMikdash and you have a government there in Eretz, a Jewish government, Malchus Beis David, and you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave us all these wonderful things. If you don't have it, so the Pashto says you're praying that he should restore it, that could be that that's only the Rabbanon. So the Maisa, the Pasuk says, what?
Today, see you have a topic,
No, he said before that when he says in Shulchan Aruch, when a person doesn't remember if he benched, so he has to repeat the Birchas HaMazon, so he has to even say HaTayv HaMeita. Even HaTayv HaMeita for sure is only the Rabbanon. So Mestami, even if the third bracha is only the Rabbanon, once you have to say over the first bracha, you got to say everything. Yeah. That's how the Magen Avraham quotes from the Maria Levi, the Tshuva Sefer written by the Taz's brother, Maria Levi. So the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu refers to Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael. It's referred to as Kisei Hashem, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean the throne? Officially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech over Eretz Yisrael. So Yerushalayim is the capital city. So because Ein HaKisei Shalem, so that's what the Tzlach writes in the end of Brachas, because Ein HaKisei Shalem calls Madar HaMalek is Ba'ilam, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his power, he seems to be impotent. It doesn't seem that he's powerful. He is, but it looks as if he's not powerful. So that's why we always spell Yerushalayim Chaser, because it says in the Pasuk, Kol Zman HaMalek is Kayim. So the Kisei is not Shalom, referred to as Kes, Kiyor al Kes Ko. We don't say Kisei Ko. And the only time the name Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh over 650 times. They point out in the Quran doesn't appear so much. But in Tanakh it appears over 660 times. Over 660 times. It's always spelled Chaser, except for one pasuk in Tilim, we're talking about Lasid Lovay. Lasid Lovay, then it's going to be Hashem Shalom. Then the Kisei will be Shalom, when Amalek will be wiped out. So that's what the Chemdas Yisrael writes. He thinks that this comment of the Sefer HaChinuch is very questionable. He says, Kvar Rabat Zichron, he says, the Rambam wrote Kvar Rabat Zichron, there's no more any Amalek. No more Amalek, so what are we learning Parsha Zachar for? The whole purpose of learning Parsha Zachar is to remember that they have to wipe out Amalek. If there's no more Amalek, so what are we talking about Parsha Zachar?
Kvar
Rabat Zichron means that you're obliterated from the world. You just don't know who they are. So
they're still here. Yeah, okay, so
it's
an ongoing thing.
We
just don't have much that we can do for it.
Yeah, but if Kvar Rabat Zichron, then there's no mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. If they're bottled because their identity has been lost, they intermarried. So no more Zainumas and no more Amaleki, no more Shaynumas.
There's a mute Shaynumas, so we don't know who they are. We can't be Midbar.
So how are we going to be fulfilling a mitzvah? We won't fulfill it.
That's Kvar Rabat Zichron. They're still there.
I remember the Rebbe saying that an anti-Semite, you consider him as being a Amalek because
right, that's Rav Soloveitchik, except from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. The Rambam never wrote Kvar Rabat Zichron. Rambam never wrote it regarding Amalek. So apparently Amalek is still around. So who is Amalek? But it's Bosachem v'Bilbulas Kol Amko. You don't know who Amalek is. So he thought, Achidish, that any nation that adopts as a position to wipe out the whole Jewish people has a din of Amalek. They don't necessarily have to be biological descendants of the original Amalek, who's mentioned in Chumash Bereishis, from the descendants from Esav. Any nation that adopts such a policy to wipe out the Jewish people has the din of Amalek. That's what he thought, that the Nazis had a din of Amalek. Many Gdolim said like that. They thought the Nazis had a din of Amalek.
Also, when Mashiach said that
to
wipe our Amalek, so if we don't know who they are anymore, does that mean they have to be reconstituted in order to have them in? Or that shot would fit in well then?
If you assume that we have nations who want to wipe out the Jewish people, yes. They're staring us in the face, yes. So according to our Moshe Soloveitchik, that's what it's referring to. Anyway, so this Shabbos is Parsha Zocha, which may possibly be a Kriya Deraisa. Shulchan Aruch says even the farmers who live far away from the city and they miss Kriyas HaTorah all year long, Shabbos Parsha Samolik, they should make sure that they live, that they come into the Yishuv. But in addition to Parsha Zocha, we're also going to read Parsha Tetzaveh. Parsha Tetzaveh has all about the big day Kohuna. The Baal HaTurim points out in his commentary on Tetzaveh that after the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the one and only seder where his name doesn't appear. And he says the reason why is because today is Ayin Adar, the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Ayin Adar, he disappeared. He died from the world. So usually Parsha Tetzaveh, the week of Parsha Tetzaveh is when Ayin Adar falls out. Usually that week. So he just says that that's
who says that?
The Baal HaTurim on Parshas Tetzaveh. He says because Moshe Akilas Kocham Afilo Al Tanai Miskayemis. Moshe Rabbeinu gave himself a curse. He was negotiating with the Ribbono Shel Olam after the Chet Ha'Egel. He said, "If you don't forgive the Jewish people, Mechenu Nami Sifrucha, take my name out of the Sefer Torah." So the Ribbono Shel Olam did forgive the Jewish people, but still, it was Kilas Chacham, he was Mekabel himself. Afilo Al Tanai Miskayemes. The Tanai was not Mekuyim, but the Klal was going to be Mekuyim. So his name was deleted. Yeah, but why was it deleted Dafka from Tetzaveh? So the Baal HaTurim says, because usually that's Zayin Adar is this week. Others add on, they printed the name of Rav Soloveitchik, and others add on the same suggestion. This fellow, Rabbi Moshe Einstein, who was here the other day, he printed a Sefer on Shmos, on Chumash. Voracious and Achumish most interesting insights. So he was mechaber to this idea that Rav Soloveitchik said as well, that Moshe Rabbeinu in Parsha Shmos has a gilu shechina when he sees the burning bush, when he sees the snap boy boish. So the Baruch Shalom said, I want you to be my shliach and go to Paro and convince Paro to set Bnei Yisrael free. So Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on fighting for 7 days, day after day after day, keeps on arguing he doesn't want to be the shliach. But Bnei Yisrael are not worthy, and I'm not worthy, and he and I, they're not going to believe me. Every day there's a different taina. And then finally, the last taina he has is, Shlach Nabi Atishlach. It'll be a Hasagas Gula, my brother. My brother Aaron is a Navi, so that's not right. It's not Derech Eretz, you should send me. So the Bnei Shalom says, your brother will not feel bad about it. Hala Aaron Achich Alevi, Yitzei Likrosecha. He's on his way to come see you, and he will not be makbid about the fact that you, the younger brother, are appointed as the goyel, so you have to take the position. So Rashi there on that pasuk points out, why does it say, Aaron Achicha Halevi? Why is it mentioned Halevi? So the Medrash says the original plan was that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohanim are going to be descendants from Moshe Rabbeinu, not from Aaron. Aaron is going to be a Levi. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving me such a hard time, every day for 7 days he's arguing with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, I want you to go to Paro to be my shliach, to do the Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he keeps on arguing. So the pasuk says, "Vayicharaf Hashem." But Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom got angry, and the Medrash quotes the Machlekes Hatanaim. One time it says, "Whenever it says Vayicharaf, means that there was a roshim, that Rabbeinu Shalom got angry, and there was some kind of a punishment." So what was the punishment here? Vayicharaf Hashem and Moshe, that for 7 days he refuses to take the shlichus, and finally he gives in. So the punishment was Hala Aaron Achicha Halevi. The original plan was, you were supposed to be, you deserve to be the Kohen Gadol, he was going to be the Levi, but now you give me a hard time, I'll make him the Kohen Gadol, and you'll be the Levi. So this week's Seder tells about the Big Day Kohuna, and Aaron HaKohen, and Bechiris HaKohanim, and Kiddush HaKohanim. This whole parasha, this was the punishment of Moshe Rabbeinu. His name doesn't appear here. He was punished, and part of his punishment was that he lost the Kohuna. So maybe that's the reason why it's this Seder that his name doesn't appear. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu is born, every Seder has his name mentioned, except for Tetzaveh. Tetzaveh starts with the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. How often do you have to light the menorah? So that's a famous machlokas, the Rambam and the Rashba in a tshuva. The Rambam says you light twice a day, every day. You light in the evening and you light in the morning. And the Rashba says there is no such thing. You only light in the evening. The Erev HaBoker says, you only light at night. You don't light Pasuk says, Me'er Abba Bekir, lights all night long. You don't light in the morning. Minig is in some, Magen Avraham quotes, and in some communities there is a minig that not only did they light Neres Chanukah and Shul at night, in between Mincha and Ma'ariv, they light in the morning as well, on the assumption, like the Rambam, that they used to light the menorah both Baboiker and Bo'erev in the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdosh Miyat, so you make a Zecher, so you have Adlokas HaMenorah in the Shul. I don't know, when I was growing up, I never saw it. I used to go to Shul in the morning. I never saw Adlokas HaMenorah in the morning. But here it's very common in all the Shuls. Everybody lights. They do, okay, yes.
For Shabbos,
right. So now it became more popular. The Rashba asks on the Rambam, if you do Hadlokas HaMenorah both by Erev and by Boiker, how come there's a Mishnah in the middle of Menachos, Eim Hadchanas HaMenorah Ela B'Hadlokah Bein Harbayim? According to the Rambam, why can't you be Mechanach the Menorah with the Hadlokah in the morning? So the Rashba says, because there is no such, it doesn't exist. There is no hadlokah in the morning. It's only hadlokah ba'erev. And that's why the Mishnah says, "Emchanchanas hamenorah ela ba'hadlokah shalbein ha'abayim." The answer, perhaps, to the kasha is that the Mishnah also said, the same Mishnah said, "Emchanchin es hamizbeach achitz and ela betomid shal shachar." When you make a mizbeach, there was a mizbeach hanachoshes that was out in the Azorah, mizbeach ha'oilo. Then there was a mizbeach haktoris, mizbeach hazov. That was in the Heichal for Haktoris, and only once a year. That's the last few psukim in Parshas Tesav. But once a year, on Kangodal on Yom Kippur goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he does Rika Saddam from the Avodas Yom Kippurim on the Mizbach Haktoris. But all year long, you're not allowed to. La Salol of Ktoris Zorah, Vol Mincham Nesel, Lo Sizchol, you're not allowed to use the Mizbach HaPnimi for any other purposes other than Yom Kippurim, the last Pasuk Achaz Bashona, once a year, and for Ktoris every day. So the Mizbach HaNechoshes was outside, the Mizbach HaOila, and they brought the Tamid Shal Shachar Tamid Ben Abayim, twice, two Kabbanas every day. So the Mishnah says, Emechanchen Asam, Mizbeach Ela B'Tamid Shal Shachar. Why is only Tamid Shal Shachar? Why can't you be Mechanach with the Tamid Shal Ben Abayim? So the Gemara learns out from Psukim that you have to start from the beginning. These two, Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Ben Abayim, you're supposed to sandwich all the kabbonis in between them. The Gemara learns that you're not allowed to bring any kabbonis before the Tomas Shal Shachar, and then Aleh Hashlam Kol HaKabbonis Kulim. You're not allowed to bring any kabbonis on the Mizbeach after the Tomas Shal Bein Abayim. So the Seder of Hakrovus HaKabbonis on the Beis HaMikdash is Tomas Shal Shachar, all the kabbonis, whatever, private, public, whatever, and then Tomas Shal Bein Abayim, everything should be brought in between these. So you have to, when you want to be Mechanach the Mizbeach, you have to start from the beginning. So that's the halach. Ein mechanchanas hamizbeach ela b'tamid shal shachar. That's why in this week's Sedra in Tetzaveh it says Shishi. It says v'zeh shetas al hamizbeach kvas min shana shnayim layom tamid esakev esecha tas rabbeiker v'esakev esasheni tas ben haboim. This is famous in Parshas Pinchas. We learn it every Rosh Chodesh in the Siddur. You have the Tzavis b'nei somatam is korban in lachmi is in Pinchas. What do you need another parsha over here? What's added over here? So the answer is no. Here we're talking about building the Mishkan, Chanukah HaMizbeach. So the way to be Mechanach HaMizbeach is by bringing, you have to start from the beginning. All the Karbonos are in one big Seder, starts with the Tom Shal Shachar, ends with the Tom Shal Bein Abayim. So the same is regarding the menorah. According to the Rambam, there are two Hadlokas. There's a Hadlokah in the evening, the Erev HaBoker, then there's another Hadlokah in the morning. How come it doesn't say in the Chumash is a murderous kasha? But that's how come it doesn't say explicitly in the Gemara? The Rashba denies it. There is no such thing as Hadlokah in the morning. So it's a good tikash, but the Rambam understood from the Gemara that there are two hadlokas. So why do you have to start Emchatnas HaMenorah Ela B'Tamid Shal Bein Abayim? Because that's the beginning. You begin with the hadlokah Bein Abayim, and the hadlokah in the morning is the Gemara. But the Ika Mitzvah is the hadlokah, not the Ika Mitzvah, the Mitzvah begins with the hadlokah Bein Abayim, just like the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the Seder Avedis Hayom begins with the Tamid Shal Shachar. You have to be mechanach the kelim by starting from the beginning. The Birkei Yosef by the Chidor in Hilchos Pesach is bothered with the kasha. We know historically there was a suggestion, and there's a Sefer Kafta Baferach, was written by one of the Rishonim. They had a group of Balei Atosis moved to Eretz Yisrael. So one of them wrote the Sefer Kafta Baferach. He writes all about Inyani Eretz Yisrael. He writes that he heard that in an earlier generation, years before he came to Eretz Yisrael, there was a discussion of the possibility of making a Mizbeach and bringing the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. So he wonders, how could that be? About his Tomei, we don't know exactly where the Mizbeach is, we don't know who's a Kohen Meyuchas, so he raises the issues. He doesn't understand how could it be. So the Birkei Yosef raises a different kasha in Hilchas Pesach. He says, how could they just make a Mizbeach and bring a Tomei and bring a Korban Pesach? Before you bring any karbonis on the Mizbech, you have to be mechanach the Mizbech. The way to be mechanach the Mizbech is by bringing a tomid shel shachar. That's the Mishnah. Tomid, tmidim, no one was ever discussing the possibility of bringing tmidim, because you have to have machza shekel for that. Machza shekel, you have to make a whole campaign to raise money from all of Klal Yisrael. So no one ever discussed bringing tmidim. They only discussed Korban Pesach. Possibility of Korban Pesach. Then it's even several others, right? It's even his tshuva safe in the Meshav Dover, as a tshuva about Shemitah, Bismana says, in the middle of that tshuva about Shemitah, he writes this, and others write this as well. The Binyan Tzion has the Yankov Etliker, and his tshuvas. So they write the suggestion, how come the whole discussion only was about the possibility of bringing Korban Pesach? Why not about Tomid? So one explanation is because for Tomid, you have to have Machzah Shekel, you have to collect from all of Klal Yisrael. Hardly anybody was interested. So it's not going to be considered a Korban Tzibur. Another suggestion was given by the Netziv and others that the Pasuk says in the Teuchachem, Chukaisai, Hashimosi has Migdashechem, I will destroy the Baruch Shalom threatens. I will destroy the Beis Hamish, Veloy Ariach Bereach Nichoichachem. And I will not be interested in smelling what used to be a fragrant smell of the carbonus. When they burn the carbonus and the smoke goes up to the sky, as if it's sent the email to the Baruch Shalom, as if God is in heaven. Heaven and the sky are not the same thing. As if the Rebbeinu Shalom is up there and the fragrant smell goes up and the Rebbeinu Shalom is happy with the Akrabas Akrabanus. So Rebbeinu Shalom says, I'll get angry at Bnei Yisrael and there'll be a churban beis hamikdash v'ashimosi es mikdashechem v'lo yariach bereach nichoichachem. So don't do me any favors, don't bring me any karbanus, I'm not interested. So that's what the Netziv says. Even if one should assume that beis hamikdash is kitcha lasi lovoi, the Malkum retains Kedusha, but you still can't bring karbonis today. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, don't do me any favors, I'm not interested in your karbonis. The one and only carbon that is what to discuss is Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach is the one and only carbon that never says in Chumash, Reach Nechayach. All the other karbonis, Chat, Zaylo, Shlomim, Chor, Maisa, Pesach, every single carbon, Mincha, every carbon says Reach Nechayach. The one and only carbon that it doesn't say Reach Nechayach is Korban Pesach. So that's what the Netziv writes in his tshuva about Shemitah b'zmanazeh, the Meshav Dover. That's what the Binyan Tzion has. The Binyan Tzion is the collection of Shalos HaTshuvos by the author of the Oroch Laner, Rabbi Yankov Etlinger. So the first two tshuvas are to Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher, who raised the possibility that maybe we should just go to Eretz Yisrael the Beis Hamikdash today. He wasn't aware that there's a mosque there, that there's nothing to discuss. So he was a Talmud of Rabbi Kevega, so he sent it to Rabbi Kevega. Kevega was also not a man of the world. Rabbi Kevega had his nose in the books all the time. Rabbi Kevega's son-in-law, the Chasam Sofer, was a man of the world. So he wrote to his father-in-law, my dear father-in-law, there's nothing to discuss. The Arabs are in charge of the Harbais. They won't let you go anywhere near the Makom HaMizbeach. They won't let you. Rabbi Kevega asked his son-in-law, you were brought up in Frankfurt, you know, the Rothschild family, the bankers, and they lend money to all the kings in the world. So get the Rothschild family to speak to the Mufti, and Yerushalayim, they should give us permission to build the Mizbech and to bring a Korban Pesach. So he writes him back a letter, my dear father-in-law, you don't realize, they don't let a Jew walk anywhere near the Makom HaMizbeach. They have a mosque over there. So Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher had this Chalamus. He thought he lived in Chalamusveld. They're going to build a Beis HaMikdash and make a Mizbech, and we're going to bring Karbonis. So that's what the Binyan Tzion wrote also like that. That even if one should assume that the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash is Kitcha Lasi Lavai, but the Rabbanan Shalom said, V'loy Ariach B'Riach Nichoichachem. Either there was a discussion in the days of the Rishayim, in the days of the Baalei Tosfos about possibly building a Mizbech and bringing Korban Pesach. So he says, yeah, Korban Pesach is the one and only exception to the rule because it doesn't say Riach Nichoichachem. All the other kabbalas are very striking. All the other kabbalas says Reach Nichayach, except for Korban Pesach. So that's the same over here. Eim Chantchen is ha menorah, ela be hadlokah beinu abayim. According to the Rambam, there were two hadlokas every day, but you have to do the chinuch, you have to start from the beginning. And the beginning is the hadlokah beinu abayim.
But Korban Pesach could be mechanic on Mizbeach.
So Korban Pesach, that's what they ask. Korban Pesach al pi pashta stands alone, because Korban Pesach is brought after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. All the other Korbanos belong to one Seder. You start with Tamid Shel Shachri and with Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. The Korban Pesach stands alone. It's the Korban that's brought dafke after Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So the pashta says, the other 353 days of the year, but if it's Erev Pesach, then you can be mechanach the mizbech with the Korban Pesach, because that's the beginning of this Seder Hakrova. Korban Pesach is a Seder Hakrova unto its own. That's the pashtus, the teretz to the Birkei Yosef's kasha. Birkei Yosef quotes this kasha from Achrayim. Yeah.
If that was the case, who would be the kohen to the
shechita? Well, the shechita is kosher bizarre, but you got to have a kohen to do. Yeah, you have to know who's a kohen. So that's where Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer worked on that. The pasuk says when they came back from this after 7 years of Golus Babel, they came back to Eretz Yisrael. And they completed the building of the Beis HaMikdash that was left off in the middle, the last years before the Gula from Golas Bavel. So when they completed, so they needed Kohanim to run the Beis HaMikdash. So the pasuk says that Ezra and Nehemiah, Bikshu Ksavim HaMasyachsim, they asked the Kohanim, can you prove that you're Kohanim? Do you have a Ksav Yichas? They were unable, many of them were unable to produce a Ksav Yichas. So the pasuk reads, "V'negoalu min hakuhuna." They were rejected from hakrovas hakabonis, because for the purpose of hakrovas kabonis and meis hamigdash, not sufficient to have a koyin kohani chazok. You have to have a koyin miyuchas. You should have a ksav yichas. He knows ben acha ben, who his father was, who his grandfather was, that each one married an isha kshera. No one married a gioris or a chalola or a zayna or a grusha or something like that. So that's the shaylet bismanazeh. Nobody has. There are hardly any kohani miyuchasim. How is it possible to be makriv karbonis bizman hazeh? You don't have enough kohanim yuchasim. So Tzfirish Kalashe came up with a chiddush that that requirement that you need a kohanim yuchas is only a chumr midirabbanan that was introduced by Ezra and Nehemiah at that time, and it's only required heichad efshar. If you'll have enough kohanim on the Beis HaMikdash without the kohani chazaka, then you insist afkan kohanim yuchasim. But heichad lo efshar, if you're going to insist on kohanim yuchasim, you'll be stuck. You won't be able to be makar of any karbonis. Then it doesn't make sense to say that chumah de rabbanan should apply in such a situation. That was the chiddush of Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. So that was Rabbi Kiveger accepted that. He sent his old sefer to Rishos Tzion. He sent the sefer to Rabbi Kiveger. Then Rabbi Kiveger sent it to the Chassam Sofer. He also accepted that. And from that time on, it was assumed that kohanim is manazeh avadai kohanim. It's always assumed kohanim. Till the days of Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, it was assumed that the reason why kohane chazoka are not allowed to be makar of karbonis is because they're suffic kohanim. So the suffic kohanim, how do they eat truma? How do they say bracha and pidyon ben? How do they say bracha when they duchen? Maybe it's a bracha levatol. Maybe they're not kohanim. So they gave terutim on this, and then from that time on, it was assumed that it's not correct that the kohanim avadai kohanim, and the halacha that kohane chazaka are not allowed to be makar kabon is only a chumra midrabanan. It's only hechad the efsha, hechad the efsha. So you let the kohane chazaka makar the kabon.
But the reason brachah is included too, that the yg in every kohen is traced back to one man. Ramon Yitzchak talks about this in the shir,
right?
About how it's proven within the DNA now, so there is no disbelief.
Right,
that can knock it off the chart.
We don't assume anymore that the subcom, the early Achrayim before the 1850s, they all assume, many of them assume Kohanim is manazeh suffic Kohanim. And since Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wrote his sefer Drishas Tzion, Rabbi Kiveger was maskim and some sefer was maskim, so we assume today they Kohanim. Just the chumer midrabbanan that you need Kohanim yuchasim to be makar of karbanos. So the parsha begins with Hadlokas Hamanoira. Hadlokas Hamanoira, the Gemara has a discussion in Yuma. Azar HaKorev Yumas, means if a non-Koyin does HaKrovas HaKorbonis, there's a punishment on Misa B'dei Shammai. So the Gemara says it's very rare. There are hardly any avoidas that the Zar will be Misa B'dei Shammai for. And the Gemara says Hadlokas HaMenoira, if his Zar will light the Menoira, he's not Misa B'dei Shammai, because Hadlok HaLav Avoidahi. Hadlokas HaMenoira is not an avoidah. So there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raibid, what does that mean? So the Raibid says it means hadlaka is not an avodah that yichai misa b'dei shemayma, but it is an avodah, has to be done by a kohen. And the Rambam disagrees, says he took the Gemara literally, hadlaka lav avodahli, hadlaka samner can be done by a zar. It's muta legamri, it can be done by a zar. Yeah, but a zar can never get so far in. A zar, the Rabbanon, they had a chumrah, they only let the non-kohanim walk the first 11 Amos in the Azor. Yud Aleph Amos, Malkam Drisus, Ragla Yisro. After that, they only allowed Kohanim to go. So how can he be madlik the menorah? The menorah is all the way in the Hechel. He'll never live so long to get so far. They'll throw him out of the Azor. They don't let you go so far. So the Rambam writes, a chidish on top of a chidish. Chidish vision is that halakha k'sheira bizar. He took the Gemara literally. Halakha laba vayde. Chidish number two, he says, so where do you have a zar lighting the menorah? So he says, if the Kohanim will walk into the Hechel, they'll take out the menorah and they'll bring it to the Yud Aleph Amo, where the non-Kohanim are allowed to stand. The Zar can be madlik the menorah, and then the Kohanim will walk back in and take it into the Hechel. That's good. So about Hadlokas HaMenorah, Hanukkah, we paskin, that's no good, because you say, Hadlokah is the mitzvah. When you do the Hadlokah, it has to be in a proper makom. If you do the Hadlokas HaMenorah, Shaloi Bim Koim, and then you put it in the windowsill or something, then the Gemara says, you're not Yotze. Hadlokah is the mitzvah. And in the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam thinks, Hanukkah is a mitzvah. You do the Hadlaka Shalobim Komo. And then you have someone carry the menorah Deluka into the Hechel and put it where it belongs. And then you say, Hanukkah is a mitzvah. It's a Chiddush on top of a Chiddush. But that's what the Rambam writes. The Psukim go into the discussion of the big day kahuna. You have to have Habob Godim for the Kohen Hedyon and Shmoneh Begodim for the Kohen Gadol. And if they don't wear the begodim, is man shem bigdei maleim, ain kunosam aleim. Bigdei maleim, kunosam aleim. That's how it says. But also, is bigdei aharon lekatshoi. They should put on bigdei kuna to endow the kohanim with kedushas kuna. That's what the Gemara says. If a kohen does hakrobas hakarbonis and he's not wearing the bigdei kuna, so the whole avoda is possible and he's chay misa b'dei shemaim. Because bisman shem bigdei maleim, ain kunosam aleim, v'havale kizar. He has a din of a zar. So this is a problematic. What do you mean he has a din of a zar? A coin is also bigrusha. So the coin is only also bigrusha when he's wearing big dekuna. When he's in the bedroom, he's not wearing big dekuna. The coin is not allowed to go to the cemetery. So take off the big dekuna. See, you're not a coin. Coin does pidyaraben. He's not wearing bikuna when he does pidyaraben. Coin gets the first aliyah. What do you mean? He only gets the first aliyah if he's wearing big dekuna. So bechreach, you have to say, so the Eichin point out of Echreach, you have to say that there are two different levels of Kedushas Kunin. There's Kedushas Kunin Sheba Migdosh, there's Kedushas Kunin Sheba Gvulin. So the Kedushas Kunin Sheba Migdosh is only attained if the Kohen is in the Beis HaMikdosh and is wearing Big Dekuna. The Kedushas Kunin Sheba Gvulin, you have even if he's not wearing Big Dekuna. So what is the relevance of Kedushas Kunin Sheba Migdosh, the higher level? Oh, that's for the purpose of Hakrabas, Hakarbonis. So bizman she'im bigdei maleim, en kunos maleim, they don't have this higher level of kedushas kunisha v'amigdosh, so then they can't be makar of korbanos. In Shulchan Aruch they quote a story from the Mordechai in Maseches Gittin that the Rabbi Natam had a few students, had a whole bunch of talmidim. So on one occasion they didn't have a faucet with running water. You had to draw water from a well, and you had to have a bucket with water and draw the water from the bucket. So on one occasion, one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Natam wanted to do him a favor, so he was pouring water on Rabbi Natam's hands, and he wanted to wash for bread. So he poured the water on Rabbi Natam's hands, and the one who was pouring the water was a Kohen. So Rabbi Peter was a Talmud, Rabbi Natam, Tam and Peter. So Rabbi Natam was the Rebbe, and Rabbi Peter was the Talmud of the Rabbi Natam. So he asks him, how can you allow the Kohen to service you to pour the water on your hands? There's a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that says, Hamishtamish b'kuhuna mo'al. One who has a Kohen service him is in violation of Me'ilah, like mo'al b'hegdash. One is using hegdash. So Rabbi Natam said, no, that only applies b'zman she'bigdei maleim. B'zman she'emigdei maleim is no problem. Enkunos maleim. So Rabbi Peter asked him, what do you mean? So he doesn't get the first Ali and he can't do Pidyon HaBen, and he's Muta the time of the Mason, and he's Muta Begrusha. That's ridiculous. How can he say Bizman Shebigdei Malim? So then the Rabbi and Tam in said, well, he's Mechel. If the Kohen is Mechel on his covet, because he volunteered on his own, he wants to pour the water on my hands. So Norach HaShulchan, he writes, even though the way the story is presented in the Mordechai, it sounds like the Rabbeinu Petter schlugged up the first answer that the Rabbeinu Tam gave. He says it didn't schlug it up. The first answer that he gave is correct. That's the Rav Soloveitchik Gesund Dos. First answer he gave is correct. Because the Loshon of the Yerushalmi is Hamishtamish Bekuhuna Mo'al. One who has a Kohen service him is in violation of Me'ila. Me'ila is a technical term, means you have Hanua from Hegdash, from Kochi Hamigdash. So the only time, only Kohen that if you'll have him service you, there'll be a violation of Me'ila is if he has a Kedusha Kunisha Bamigdash. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam said. That didn't, Hamishtamish Bekuhuna. It doesn't say, also the Hamishtamish Bekuhuna. It says Hamishtamish Bekuhuna Mo'al. It's a violation of Me'ila because she amigdosh. So that's only if he has Kedushas Kunish about Migdosh, only if he's wearing Big Dekuna. He's not wearing Big Dekuna, so that din doesn't apply. So the Kasha, the Rabbeinu Petter asked him, so should be Mutta Bigrusha, Mutta the time of the Mason? No. For that, you don't need Kedushas Kunish about Migdosh. For that, Kedushas Kunish about Bigvulin would be sufficient. So the Torah lists off all of these Big Dekuna. Yeah, some of them have Shatnas. The Avnate of the Kohen Hedyot has Shatnas. Davnan, the Kohen Gadol, is a discussion in the Gemara, but it also has Shatnas. The Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, there's a third set of Big Day Kuna. That's in Parsha Zachri Mois. That's the Big Day Lovan on the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. That's not mentioned here. It's a question, how come it's not mentioned here? It's only once a year. Achaz Bashani, he wears Abob Godim, and everything is Sheish. Everything is linen. Everything is linen, there's no Shatnas at all. But by a Kohen Hedyot, the Avnate, the Gartel, has Shatnas, and by the Kohen Gadol all year long, the Shmeina Begodim, so several of the Begodim have Shatnas. So the Rambam quotes a Gemara that there's an issue about are the Kohanim permitted to wear the Big Dekuna Shaloi Bishas Avodah? So the Rambam sounds explicitly like he's distinguishing between the Kohen Hedyot and the Kohen Gadol. Rambam says when the Kohen Hedyot finishes the Avodah, he finishes Hakrobas HaKarbonos, has to take off the gartel right away because the avnet has shatnas, and it's only mutter to wear the shatnas bizman avoid. Shlobishas avoid it's us. The rabbi asks, why is it usher? For the Gemara would appear that he's allowed to wear the big dekuna all year long, all day long, even shlobishas avoid. And the Rambam says that's only regarding Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol can wear big dekuna all day long, even shlobishas avoid. But the Kohen Hedyot is only allowed to wear the shatnas. There's another issue. How can he wear Big Dekuna? It's an issue of Me'ila. So somehow the Issa Me'ila doesn't apply at all to Big Dekuna. He's allowed to wear the Big Dekuna even Shalom B'Shas Avodah. He doesn't have to worry about Moel B'Hegdash. He only has to worry, according to the Rambam, he only has to worry about Shatnas. And it's only the Kohen Hedyot by the Avnate is a problem. Kohen Gadol can wear the Big Dekuna G'dayla all day long. So that's a question. Why should that be so? Why should there be a difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot? So the Beis Halevi has a famous essay about this, and the Tshuva's Beis Halevi. He says that the Pasuk is going to say later in Parshas Tetzaveh, but one of the Shmoneh Begadim of the Kohen Gadol is the Tzitz. What is the purpose of wearing the Tzitz? So the Pasuk says, V'nasa Aronas Avayim HaKadoshim. When the Kohen Gadol wears the Tzitz, this somehow is Machshir, Karbonas that would have otherwise been pasul because the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz. So the Karbonas are kosher. L'rotzan lahem lefnei Hashem. What psul are we talking about? It's so unclear. It's so vague. What psul? So the Gemara has, by process of elimination, the Gemara's mind is only talking about the psul tuma. If the carbon is brought in a state of tuma, either the kohen who did the hakrov is tameh, or the carbon itself, the basar or the dam, became nitma. So whenever there's a psul tuma, so the carbon is pasul. Either the kohen is tameh or the carbon is tameh. And the exception to the rule is, if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, at that time, then the carbon is kosher. Yeah. What do you mean, at that time, the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, at that time? At what time? At what time? So that's up. So strange, funny machlokes, Rashi in the Shagazari. Rashi says, if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz at the time that the Kohen became tameh, or that the carbon became tameh. And the Shagazari in the Seif and the Gura Sari, on Yom, he says, why does Rashi say at the time that the carbon became tummy? It should be the time they were makir of the carbon. If you're makir of a carbon, the tumah, the hakrova is bipsul. So if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz at the time they were makir of the carbon in the state of tumah, Bipsul. So the tzitz is meratzah, the tzitz is machshir the korban. Very strange. Why does Rashi say? Why does Rashi say it depends if the kohen gadol is wearing the tzitz at the time that the korban became tamei, not at the time they were makriv it? Pashup pshat is like the Gvuras Ari. Gvuras Ari has a sefer on tainis, Gvuras Ari shagazari, has a sefer on yuma. So the Gvuras Ari has a sefer on makis also. So every line in Rashi and Tosis where they add on something over and above what it says in the Gemara, he pounces on them like a lion. That was his name, Shagazari. And he disagrees. Every single line that Rashi and Tosis add on over and above what it says black on white in the Gemara, he says it's wrong. And he quotes Rai that it's wrong. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Tur Yevin is not so aggressive. Tur Yevin discusses all the topics, but the Guru Sari is unbelievably aggressive.
Maybe because it prevents the soul from ever being
chalik. Yes, a chiddush, yeah. How did Rashi know that? That it depends. The Taraim have a machlekes. How do you read the pasuk? Pasuk says, "When Haro Avon Hakadoshim Shagdishem Bnei Yisrael Lachol Matnos Kachem B'Chay Al Mitzcha Tomid LeRatzan Lahem Lefnei Hashem." So one Tana says, "Tomid LeRatzan Lahem Lefnei Hashem." Even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz al mitzcha, it's one of the Shmeinim B'Gadim, he should wear it. But it's always meratzah. The existence of the tzitz is meratzah on the korban. So even if the kohen gadol is not wearing it, we usually don't assume that's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon in the beginning of Yuma Dav Zayin. We usually assume the other way. Oy al mitzcha tamid kama, not tamid leratzin lahem. Oy al mitzcha tamid kama leratzin lahem. Od al mitzcha meratzah. Ein od al mitzcha ein meratzah. It's only meratzah. It's only machshir the pasul of the korban with the psul tuma if he's wearing the tzitz. Kangana's not wearing it, it's not Marat. That's the question, when does he have to be wearing it? So Rashi says, B'shas when the korban became nitmo, B'shas when the koin became nitmo. Somehow the tzitz is Marat, that it's considered as if it never became pasul. And the Shagazai says, why? It means at the time, he should be wearing the tzitz at the time that the makar of the korban b'psul. Why should it depend when the korban became mekabel to me? So it's this chiddush din that the tzitz is Marat. So the Beis HaLevi quotes the Tosfos in Kiddushin, that the tzitz is meratza, the kohen gadol doesn't have to wear all the shmonim gadolim, just the tzitz. It can be walking around and shopping in Yerushalayim with a regular suit, a regular outfit, but he has to wear the tzitz. He wears the tzitz. So he says he thinks the Rambam probably disagrees with that Rabbi Natan. He thinks the Rambam probably understood that tzitz is meratza only b'tzir of all the shmonim gadolim. He has to wear all the gadolim. So the kohen gadol has a mitzvah to wear the shmonim big dekuna all day long. So since it's in order to be meratzah, in order to be machshir on all the karbonis, that'll be karib betumah. So by kohen gadol, there's a mitzvah to wear the shmoneh b'gadim all day long. So that's why it's mutter, even shloi b'shas avodah, despite the fact that the shatas, kohen hedyot, doesn't accomplish anything by wearing the big dekuna, lest he wants to be makor karbonis. So the kohen hedyot only has a mitzvah to wear big dekuna, b'zman avodah. Shloi b'zman avodah, there's no mitzvah. Kohen gadol has a mitzvah to wear shmoneh b'gadim all day long to be meratzah on the pasul of karbonis. That's a suggestion of the Beis HaLevi. He says maybe the Rambam disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos in Kiddushin. Maybe he thinks that the tzitz meratzah means you have to wear all the Shmoneh Begadim, not just the tzitz alone. So that's all day long you should wear. Rav Soloveitchik thought, Ba'od Yeshleima, maybe you can say, even if you'll assume that the Rambam agrees with the Tosfos, B'shem Rabbeinu Tam, that the tzitz is meratzah, you don't need all the Shmoneh Begadim, just the tzitz alone. You can still understand the Rambam why he thinks that the kohen gadol is allowed to wear big dekuna all day long, even shloi b'shas avodah, because there's a Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, but the Rambam writes that the kohen gadol is considered one of the fixtures in the Beis HaMikdash. He writes, Kvoda b'sefarto, it's the honor and the glory of the kohen gadol, he should be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. He has to stand on his feet all day long. Ein yeshiva b'azara. You're not allowed to sit in the azar. But the Rambam says it's preferable. Mitzvah is the kohen gadol should be there in the Beis HaMikdash all day long to supervise the hakrovas hakavanos. So since it's quoted sefarat alios in the Beis HaMikdash all day long, so the Rambam understood that it's a mitzvah that he should wear big dekuna all day long. So he, for the kohen gadol, there's a mitzvah to wear big dekuna all day long. For the kohen hedyot, there's only a mitzvah to wear big dekuna b'shas avodah. Shlomo writes, after the kohen hedyot finishes his avodah, take off me'an has to take off the chagoyra, has to take off the yavneh. But the kohen gadol doesn't have to take it off right away. He's doing a mitzvah by wearing big dekuna all day long. It's a difference between the mitzvah of levisha's big dekuna for the kohen gadol and levisha's big dekuna for the kohen hedyot. For the kohen gadol, It's a mitzvah to wear big dekuna all day long. Kahedin is only a mitzvah to wear b'shas avoda. Shlo b'shas avoda, there's no mitzvah. And the Rebbe disagrees with the whole thing. The Rebbe says that even the kahedin is allowed to wear big dekuna all day long, even shlo b'shas avoda, even though there's no mitzvah. Mitzvah, the Rebbe agrees with the Rebbe. The mitzvah of wearing big dekuna for the kahedin is only b'shas avoda. But he says that it's still, there's no isek alayim. So it's usually assumed, Tosfos has the lashon, it's usually assumed that the issue in machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid is whether the heter of wearing shatnas and the big dekun is dechuya or hutra. Is it dechuya, means the mitzvah of hakros hakarbonis is doichet, so it's only biyidna, it's only b'shas when you're makrov karbonis. If the kohen hedyon is not being makrov karbonis, there's no heter. Or should I say that it's hutra? Not that the mitzvah of hakrovus hakarbonis is materit, it's heter gomer, so even shlo b'shas avoda is also muta. That's how Tosfos words it. That's how the Beis Halevi, Shagas Aryeh, they all write that lashon. The Machlekes, the Rambam, and the Rebbe. It's really two opinions in Tosfos, whether it's permissible for the Kohen Hedyot to wear the shatnas and the avnet shlo b'shas avoda is. What's the nature of the heter of shatnas in the big dekun? Is it dechu yehutru? So there's a pirush ha-maseches tamid that's printed in the regular shas. It's miyuchas to the Rebbe. They say that it's a fact that it's not written by the rabbi. It's written by somebody else, but it was miyuchas mistakenly to the rabbi. There's a lot of things there that contradict what the rabbi says. So we know it's not the rabbi's style either. So we know it's not by the rabbi, but it's an old, some rishon, in the days of the rishon. So this pirush miyuchas la-rabbi is bothered with a kasha. He says there's a machlokes in the Gemara where the tumah is muta b'tzibur or d'choye b'tzibur. If you have a korban tzibur, which is manukavua, so you're permitted to be a makar of it even in the state of tumah. So the Gemara in Yuma, Davav, has a machlokes hamaroyim, and the Gemara shows it's a machlokes hatanoim. What's the nature of this heter? Is it heter gomer, or is it only dechuyah? So the Gemara says, the mind of kamina, what if you can avoid it? Let's say, all the kohanim today, the kohanim were divided up into mishmaris. Every mishma came a different week, and then every mishma was divided into six batei yobes, Sunday through Friday. And then Shabbos, most of the people went home, and all the batei yobes would function together on Shabbos from that mishmar. All the batei yobes in the 6 days of the week would function on Shabbos. So let's say all the kohanim from today's Beisav, today's Thursday, all the kohanim from today's Beisav atome. So would you allow the kohanim from today's Beisav to be makriv the tminim the carbon today's not Rosh Chodesh and no musaf? Would you allow them to be makriv the carbon tomid? Because the tumas mutabitzibah say, no, get a coin from yesterday based off, and tomorrow's based off. Why should you be matir? So the Gemara says that depends where the tumah is duchuy bitzibahutra. If it's duchuya, means because hitir hatayra. So if you can figure out a way to avoid it, you should try to avoid it. But if you're hutra had the gomma, so you don't have to rack your brains. It's muta to be makam in the state of tumah. So the rabbi says, I understand this topic in the Gemara. Whether karbonis tziba that are muta to be offered betuma is dechuya or hutra, if it's hutra is heter gomer and you don't have to try to avoid it, dechuya you should always try to avoid it because hitir hatar. But let's say bringing karbonis on Shabbos, decha Shabbos, karbonis as manakavu is decha Shabbos. So the Gemara said beferish in Yuma, that's hutra, that's not called dechuya. So the Rebbe says, and the guy's allowed to smoke a cigar on Shabbos while he's makriv the karbonis? Of course not. Hutra means hakrabas hakrabonis. On Shabbos, the chilul Shabbos involved there is hutra for the purpose of hakrabas hakrabonis. But over here, the guy's not, the kohen is dilly-dallying all day long. He wore the big dekuna and he brought the hakrabas hakrabonis. Now he continues to wear the big dekuna with the shatnas and he's not being marked of any karbonis. He's standing in the azar reading a newspaper. So what's the heter to wear the shatnas? What does it help to say hutra? Hutra means it's heter gomer, so since you're performing the mitzvah, the tmeim of today's Beis Abba, performing the mitzvah of hakrovas hakarbonis, the banim kavua, so that allows him to be makar karbonis in the state of tumah. But on Shabbos, the smoke has to go because hakrovas hakarbonis is hutra, so you're allowed to do another mocha. No. So what's the heter to wear shatnas? He's not doing any mitzvah now. Mitzvah to wear big dekun is only b'shas hakrovas hakarbonis. That's what the pirusham yuchos arrive at. Ask that kasha. What are the Balei HaTosfos talking about? That it depends hutra dechuya, even if you hold hutra. But why should it be muta? It has nothing to do with the mitzvah of hakrovas hakarbonis. Rav Soloveitchik once gave a yortzeit drasha on this topic, Every year on Gimel Shvat, he used to have Yahrzeit for his father. He used to give a major shir. So one year he explained about Kalai. All the shirim were usually on Orach Chaim. Tzitzis and Tefillin and Kriya Shema and Birchus Hamoz and Chazar Sashatz and so on. Kiddush and Avdolim. One year he gave on Shtoris and he realized it's not for Balabat. And he went back to Orach Chaim. So one year he gave on Tzitzis, Shatnas and Tzitzis. So he explained what does it mean Hutra. Hutra means the Cheftza of Big Dekuna is not subject to the prohibition of Shatnas. So even if you're not Mekayim any mitzvah, the Cheftza was exempted. The Chuyah means that the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the Tzorach Kiyum HaMitzvah, is Zorcha the Yisr. So that's only if it's Yefshah Lekayim Shneim. Yefshah Lekayim Shneim, there's no Tzorach. So you get Kohanim from yesterday's Beisav, or from tomorrow's Beisav. But if you hold Hutra, Hutra means that the Cheftza of Hakrovas Korbanus Tzibur is Muta Betum. And here it means the Cheftza of Big Dekuna is exempted from the prohibition of Shatnas. Why Chutz LaMikdash? That says Yoloike. It says if you wear Big Dekuna Chutz LaMikdash, but the Shatnas Yoloike. So Tyson, why? But if you hold Hutra, should be Hetta Gomer. So Tyson says one suggestion, maybe Yoloike means Makas Mardis Midirabonim. And even if one should assume that Yoloike means Malkas Deraisa, so Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe there's no Chaloshem Big Dekuna Chutz LaMikdash. Because there's a Mishnah Menachas that says that Klishoris Aronim Mikadesh in the Azor. If the Klishoris are in the Azor, then the Mikadesh might. Because there's no Chaloshem Klishoris Chutz LaZor. Big Dekuna are also, in a certain sense, Klishoris. So there's no Chaloshem Klishoris Chutz LaZor. That's why. So it's not called Big Dekuna. Chutz LaMikdash is not considered Big Dekuna. Right, that's what the Tosis says. Even though the mitzvah tzitzis only by yom, so how are you allowed to wear tzitzis with shatnas by laila? There's no kima mitzvah. So the Rabbi Natam says because klaima tzitzis is hutra, means that the cheftza of tzitzis in a beged shalar b'kamfis is exempted from the mitzvah, from the prohibition of shatnas. Hutra, so even though there's no kima mitzvah at all balaylo, still it's mutter. That's what the Rabbi Natan says in Tosafot. That is correct. So this is the Torah has a dinim of the kohen gadol wearing the tzitz, and the tzitz is meratze, is machsher the all the posula korbanos. The Gemara says this machlokes whether the tzitz is meratze only when the kohen gadol is wearing it, or even when he's not wearing it. So the Gemara asks, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, he's not allowed to wear the tzitz. He only wears the Abba B'godim in Parsha Zachri Mois. The tzitz is not one of the Abba B'godim. So what if a tumah will occur at that time, when the Kohen Gadol will go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? How does the Torah tell us, how does the Torah describe the routine of the Kohanim of the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's not wearing the tzitz, so what's gonna save us if a psul tumah will creep in? So this is what motivates one Tana to come to the conclusion the tzitz is meratze even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. Only nishbar hatzitz. If it broke, then it's not meratze. But if the tzitz is standing there in a closet, even though the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it, afila edo ado amitzchoy, it's still meratza on the karbonis, yeah, but the Raman Paskin is not so. It's only meratza when you're wearing it. So the Gemara says, how can the Torah tell us that the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's not going to be wearing the tzitz? The Gemara says, no, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's karbonis tzibur. So karbonis tzibur is muta betuma, hutra. So the Gemara says, these two issues are totally zebizah. Whether karbonis tzibur, amuta to be brought betuma, is it hutra duchuya? And whether the tzitz is meratzah when it's not al mitzchoy. And Gemara says, all the Tanoim seem to be assuming as a premise that Rabbanu Shlom would never ask us to do the hakrovos hakamaros in such a way that Kohen Gadol should go into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur not wearing the tzitz and not be covered in case a psul tumah will creep in the Kodesh Kodashim. We won't be covered with anything to be machshavit. Either you have this solution or that solution. So one Tana says the solution is the tzitz is meratzah afilo eno al mitzchah, even if he's not wearing it, the tzitz is meratzah. The other Tana says not true. The tzitz is only meratzah if he is wearing it. But the reason why it's not a problem is because tumah hutra b'tzibah het tegomer. The problem is the Rambam and Rambam Paskin's both in the wrong direction. Rambam Paskin's tumah duchuy b'tzibah, not hutra. And the Rambam Paskin, the tzitz is only meratzah when you're wearing the tzitz. You're not wearing it, not. And the Gemara says all the Tanoim agree, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, they all agree that Rabban Shalom will never have instructed us to bring karbonis in such a way on Yom Kippur, going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that we wouldn't be covered with a hechsher in case a psil tuma will creep in. So the Rambam is against the Gemara. The Rambam is against. The Gemara says all the Tanoim agree to that assumption. The Rambam holds it was up. We don't agree to that assumption. When the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if a psil tuma will creep in, it'll talk to be tuma. Yeah. Why is the Gemara? It's interesting what the Gemara assumes there on the Abzayin in Yuma. The Gemara says, if tuma hutcher b'tzibe had to gomer, that you don't need a tzitz. Because the karbonis that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur, al ro karbonis tzibesh as manam kavua, then you don't need a tzitz. But if you'll tuma d'chuya b'tzibe, then you do need a tzitz, but you have the tzitz, because the Kohen Gadol doesn't have to wear it. That Tana holds, even when it's sitting on a table, it's also meratza. The existence of the tzitz is meratza. Why did the Gemara think that it's totally zeh b'zeh? If you all tuma hutra b'tzibur, then you don't need a tzitz to be machshirit, a karbonis tzibur. And if you all tuma d'chui b'tzibur, then you do need a tzitz. Why is it totally zeh b'zeh? The Gemara doesn't explain why they think it's totally zeh b'zeh. So that's a famous explanation from a Bitzel Aponavizha. Bitzel Aponavizha was a big genius. Rab Chaim held he was the biggest Baal Mechadish of the generation. You can call, show him a stira. Here it says black, here it says white. He'll always figure out a teretz. He was gevaldik, he was a genius. They say that once Rab Chaim wasn't home, Rab Bitzel visited, and Rab Elvela was there. And then when Rab Chaim came home, he asked Rab Elvela, his son, did you enjoy talking and learning? Did you talk and learning with Rab Bitzel Aponavizha? He says, yeah. No, he's such a genius. Did you enjoy? He says, not especially. He said, why not? He's so fantastic. He said, yeah, everything is gevaldik. But it doesn't say it in the Gemara. He was trained, Rab Chaim and Rab Elvela, their style was, everything has to say either Mefurish or Kemat Mefurish in the Gemara. Rab Bitzel would say, fantastic Chidushim, but no, there's no Mokar in the Gemara for his Chidushim. He would farem for Stiris in Gemaras, no Mokar. So here Rab Bitzel interprets Pshat in the Gemara, in the Zecha Yitzchak, they printed things from him. Rab Bitzel has the following suggestion. If you hold Tuma d'chuya b'tzibur, the old Tuma d'chuya. So d'chuya, whenever you bring a korban in the state of Tuma, you have two issues. You have one issue, there's an avera. You're not allowed to be makar karbonis in the state of Tuma, whether you're Tuma or it's Tuma. There's an issa. And number two, it's a psul. A korban brought in the state of Tuma is a psul in the korban. So when you say Tuma d'chuya b'tzibur, it's a dir of d'chuya, it's a d'cha lo yisese, kabar abis is d'cha. So when something is doicha, something else is doicha and iser. Can't be doicha psul. If the carbon is puzzle, it's puzzle. What do you mean with doicha it? With zibu, with doicha. If you say tuma, hutra with zibu, it means the whole parsha of tuma by carbonis was never given in the case of carbon zibu. So if you have tuma, hutra with zibu, hutra hetagam, the whole parsha of akrova betuma doesn't apply. So neither the psul nor the iser, nothing applies. But if you have tuma, duchuya with zibu, so the whole terminology, the whole concept of dechia, only applies on the Isser. The carbon sibur is doicha the Isser to be makvatumah. What's maksha the carbon though? Fine, you didn't do an avera. The essay is the mitzvah of akrovas akarbonis, tzibur, is doicha the Isser of tumah. But what's maksha the carbon? It's possible. So for that you have to come on to the tzitz. If you don't have a tzitz, there won't be miratza. So that was a discussion that they had at the generations. Is there a possibility of being makar b'korban pesach b'zman hazeh? We should go and make a mizbech, and if you hold kitcha losi lovis, I'll make a little mizbech, makar b'korban pesach. Yeah, but everybody's tummy. So tuma d'chuyu b'tzibur. So it's a korban shezman hakavu, a korban pesach. Yeah, but in order to be makriv, since the Rama paskens d'chuyu, he doesn't pasken hutra. Rama paskens tuma is the chuyah b'tzibur, so you need the tzitz to be meratza. So you have to appoint a kohen gadol and have him wear the tzitz and perhaps all the shmonim begadim. So that's not so poshut. So you have to make a tzitz. How do you have a tzitz? A tzitz says kodesh laHashem, kodesh lamed yud kei vav kei. Ufitachto l'petuch echosim kodesh laHashem, kuf dalet shin lamed yud kei vav kei. So the Tanoim had the Tanoim who lived after the Churban Bayis Sheni. They never saw the tzitz. So the Adam Achleikis, what did it look like? So one Tana says Kodesh Lashem, the other Tana says Kodesh Lamed, and then on the line above that, at the second half of the line, it said Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you had to read from the beginning of the second line to the end of the first line. So the other Tana says, what are you talking about? I was in Rome, I was in the Vatican, and they let me into the treasury there, and I saw the tzitz. And the tzitz is one line, Kodesh Lashem in one line. How can you say it's two lines? Ani reis, ani heis, it'd be right, man, I saw it. So the Rama Paskin said it's in two lines. Rama Paskin, Kodesh Lashem is in two lines. So the Kesef Mishneh asked on the Rama, how can he Paskin against archaeological evidence? The Tana says, I was in Rome, I said, Bereme, and it's all on one line. So the Kesef Mishneh answers, there must have been more than one tzitz. The tzitz has to fit on his Amitz Chetamid. Some kind of Gedolim have a wide forehead, some have a narrow face. It depends how big your forehead is. So it has to fit snugly on your head. So there must have been, how many Kohanim Gedolim were there? Kufas Baisheni. It must have been 400. There were a lot of Kohanim Gedolim. So they probably had quite a few tzitz. So just because they discovered one tzitz that was on one line, doesn't mean that they were all made like that. They probably had some like this and some like that, and it was an ongoing debate in every generation. Not just the Machlekes HaTanaim who lived after the Churban Baisheni. You see, it was a Machlekes Bizman Baisheni also, how it's supposed to be written. So Solomon had in one line, and the Rambam thinks that that's wrong. It's supposed to be written in two lines. That's every theological evidence. Does it really prove conclusively what you're trying to prove with it? You find a mikveh in the days of the Baisheni, aha, so you see it doesn't have the Chazanish Shiurim, so you see the Chazanish is wrong. Maybe this mikveh was from the conservative Jews. Who said it's from the Orthodox Jews? Maybe the Orthodox Jews had a mikveh like the Chazanish.
If we find a mikveh in Shiloh, they had the Mishkan.
Okay. So it depends where you find where do you find the mikveh and how old is it?
In the cave right outside the Mishkan where the Lord lived, it was a mikveh.
Okay. So you have to measure it to see whether it has Memsor according to the Chazanish. Okay. Archaeological evidence is important. The Tana says, Ani ha'isi bereme, I saw it in Rome. It's giving archaeological evidence, and the Rambam rejects it because it doesn't necessarily prove that that's the correct way. There were many other tzitz, and they were not like that. What does it mean? V'hoya meitzach aharoin. Meitzach is usually assumed to be the forehead. The Targumunkel is on meitzach translates v'yehe al beis einohi the aharon. What's beis einohi? The Tosis in the first Perek in Yuma writes that there was a Balatosis who thought that it says, Oyu tatovis bein einecha. Where do you put tefillin? You don't put tefillin bein einecha. You put tefillin over here, b'makom seyar, bein einecha. So here also, v'haya al meitzach, the word meitzach is translated by the Unkelis, beis einohi. So Tosis has this one opinion that it means over here. The tzitz was not on the forehead. It was rather over here. And then the Gemara says, the Kangodol used to wear tefillin shel rosh. The Gemara discusses that they wear tefillin shel yad. So the Gemara says there's a din of chatzitza. When the Kohanim wear big dekun, it has to be directly on their body. You can't have a chatzitza. You can't wear underwear, anything else. You can't wear talz cotton, underwear, to be mafsik in between the big dekun and the body. And all the dinim in Shulchan Aruch about chatzitza by tefillin is all based on the Gemaras in the second parak in Zochim by chatzitza by big dekunim. They quote everything by tefillin, it's all based on chatzitza by big dekunim. So the so shalyad they couldn't wear, because you can't wear shalyad on top of the sleeve, and can't wear shalyad under the sleeve. It'll be chatzitza on top of the sleeve, it'll be chatzitza between the shalyad and the arm. So the tefillin shalyad they couldn't wear. Tefillin shal rosh, the Gemara says they did wear. So the Gemara says sayra hayanira bein tzitz limitz nefes shesham hayimenech tefillin. Gangola used to have the tzitz al mitzchay wherever that is. Then had a little hair sticking out over here, if he still had hair, okay? When you get old enough, to no hair over there. So, and he put the tefillin on the Mokum Seir. So according to this opinion in Tosfos, the tzitz was over here, on the beginning of Mokum Tefillin, then the tefillin was over here, and the mitznefes was further back. The Kohen Hedya didn't have to have tzitz with tefillin, he only had tefillin. So the mikbas of the Kohen Hedya was bigger than the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol. That's a Tosfos quotes one opinion. How come this is called Mitznefes, this is called Mikbas? So they say it's a different size. The Mikbas of the Kohen Hedyot was bigger than the Mitznefes, because the Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz over here, then tefillin over here, so there's not enough room. So the Mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol begins four etzbois back. The tzitz was two etzbois, the tefillin shel rosh was two etzbois, two thumb widths, And then the mitznefes was further back. And the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hedyot only wore the tefillin over here, and then right away the mikvas. And the mikvas of the Kohen Hedyot was bigger. The holier you are, so the smaller your yarmulke is. The Kohen Gadol wears a smaller yarmulke. The Pope's yarmulke is smaller than the others? The yarmulke? Huh? Doesn't wear its sits. Doesn't wear its sits.
White.
Huh?
It's white.
White. Purity. Yeah.
It was awkward, he said, because he also had to be anointed. So there had to be a space when he was inaugurated initially for Moshe Rabbeinu to anoint him and to connect dots. So that whole spot that it says to put on his forehead wasn't there because that's the spot that had to be connected with the anointing.
I don't know. Where was the Mashiach attack on the forehead? It wasn't on the hair. That was stuck on the forehead.
It's in the stone from which talks.
Then the Torah has a special karbonis that had to be brought on the occasion of Kiddush Kehuna. Just like a ger habole his gayer has to go to mikveh, and he has to bring karbonis, so the Kohanim who became niskadosh b'kedushas kehuna had to go to mikveh to have to receive tzefes kedusha, and had to bring special karbonis. The Torah has all of the special, all the halachas of the special karbonis. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah on the part of Kohanim to eat Chatas and Osham and Mincha, to eat Kochi Kochim. Kochi Kochim can only be eaten by Kohanim, by Zichri Kohuna. So that's a mitzvah sachil. Kochim Kalim is a mitzvah to be Makar Veshlamim, ki mitzvah say. But there's no, the Rambam doesn't count it as a specific mitzvah that someone should eat the Besar Hashlamim. If you're not going to eat it, it'll be in violation of Allah's Sissirim Menu Ad Boiker. You're not allowed to leave it over that it should become Noisar. But it's not really a mitzvah to eat it. Just make sure it doesn't become nice. I see to it that someone tohor should eat it. Rashi on the Gemara in Psochim has a comment that even achilas kochim kalim al yidei Yisrael is also a mitzvah based on the pasuk in Tanei Sadra. Ba'ochlu osam asher kupa bahem. So he says that pasuk goes on kochim kalim. That's the mocha, Rashi claims. That's the mocha, that the mitzvah to eat kochim kalim. Not just the mitzvah to eat kachin kashim, like the zikr kuna teach or kachin kalim as well.
That pasuk is not by kachin
kashim. I think it's by Shalmei Tzibur. So the question is, Shalmei Tzibur are assumed to be kachin kashim. That's the Mishnah in Ezam Koyman. Shlomim is the one korban that depends whether it's yochid or tzibur. Shalmei yochid is kachin kalim. Shalmei Tzibur is kachin kashim. Here it's, I think it's talking about the Shalmei Tzibur that were brought. So that is a problem. We ochlosim ashekupa b'hem. Then there's a mitzvah to bring tamashal shachar, tamashal ben habayim. The Rambam counts them as one mitzvah. He starts with tamashal shachar, tamashal ben habayim is the second half of the mitzvah. The Rambam counts kriya shema twice a day also as one mitzvah. The Rambam counts akrobas the end of the parasha. Make a mizbech haktoris, so the Rambam counts, he bring Torah shal shachar, Torah shal ben habayim, he also counts it as one mitzvah, it's a series. Half of the mitzvah is done now, half of the mitzvah is done later. The Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvah disagrees with the Rambam, and he uses a melitza from the Gemara, the first half of Megillah, is manu shal zeh, lok is manu shal zeh. Why should you consider it one mitzvah? There's one mitzvah to bring the Torah shal shachar, there's a separate mitzvah to bring the Torah shal ben habayim. Why do you say it's one big mitzvah? It's a series. You're supposed to start with Tom Shashach, end with Tom Shem Ben Abayim, have everything in between. Yeah, that's why when you do the Chanukah Samizbech, you have to start Em Chanukah Samizbech, Elo B'Tom Shashach. But why should you say that it's one mitzvah? So the Ramban disagrees. He says that Kriyash Mashach Zavis are two mitzvahs, and Ketoris Shach Zavis are two mitzvahs, and Tom Shashach and Tom Shem Ben Abayim are two mitzvahs. There's only one mitzvah. There's one mitzvah that he holds is one mitzvah. The Chavita Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol every day of the year brings a Minchas Chavitin. He brings half in the morning, half in the evening. That the Ramban is masking, that's counted as one mitzvah. Why? Because that's a Gemara. The Gemara says you have to be Mekadosh the whole Shir Minchas Chavitin at one time. You can't be Mekadosh the amount from the morning alone, amount from the evening alone. You have to be Mekadosh both halves at the same time. So that indicates that these are two halves of one mitzvah. But regarding Thomas Shachar, Thomas Shemir Abayim, Ramban thinks that it should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. Pasuk says that Aharon should be makta the Ktoris, and Aharon should be madlik the Neiris. So Makshim Ha'olam, the Rishonim ask, you don't need a Kohen Gadol. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. You only need a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Why does Aaron have to do? A Kohen Hedyot can also be madlik the Samadoira. Kohen Hedyot can also do Haktoris Haktoris every day. So the Sfarno on Chumash, the end of Chumash Mos, has a fantastic Chiddush. He thinks that because in the Midbar, the Pasuk says in the end of Pikudei, because in the Midbar, Anan Hashem ala Mishkan Yomim, Ve'eshti Yolayla Bar Le'ini Kol Beis Yisrael L'chol Ma'aseyim, the last Pasuk, that's where the Sfarno is on the last Pasuk. He says, because there was a very intense Ashuas Hashchina, and there was an Onan there, the Onan, the Onan represented Kvod Hashem. So the the Mishkan had the status all 40 years like the Avodah on Yom Kippur, because it says when the Kohen Gadol goes to do the Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he has to burn Ktoris, and then V'chisa Hon and Es HaKapoiris. When the Ktoris Shalifnai, well, if name starts to burn, it's going to give off smoke, and the smoke is going to fill up the whole room. So the Sfarno claims that whenever there's Onan, it's a different Onan. This is a heavenly Onan, the end of Pikudei. This is a heavenly Onan. It's not an Onan from smoke that you choke. It's a different kind of an Onan. But the Sfarno thinks that it's the same. The fact that on Yom Kippur you have an Onan means that there's a special Hashuas Hashchina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, and that's why we require a Kohen Gadol. So all the 40 years in the Midbar, the Pasuk says there was a heavenly Onan. It wasn't an Onan from any Ktoris, it was a heavenly Onan. That's why all 40 years in the Midbar, any Avodah that was done in the Heichal, where the Onan was, needed Aaron HaKohen. You needed the Kohen Gadol. Avodah is done in the Azara, let's say the Hakrobis, Tamidim, and Masafim, and all the Karbanis in the Azara, there was no Onan there. The Onan was Be'oil Ma'id. Kishohan Allah Pe'anon, in Oil Ma'id there was an Onan. So that's a fantastic chiddush. And then he quotes Psukim from Novi that Lasid Lavai, there will be a greater Gilui Shechina in the Bayis HaShlishi than there ever was in the Mishkan for all 40 years. So he thinks that's the Pshat and the Pasuk in Novi, that Lasid Lavai will need a Kohen Gadol to do all the Avedas that are going to have to be done in the Heichal. Anything done in the Oil in the Heichal will have to be done by Kohen Gadol, because there'll be a thicker Hashuas HaShechina there. That's quite a chiddush. Quite a chiddush.
Is there any way that the Kohen Gadol can see when he's going inside there? Because he covers with smoke, holds cover.
Probably can see.
Covered, there's no sunroof.
I should hope he is able to see. Otherwise, he's going to trip. I assume
so.
Don't
walk that far in.
Just like take like one step inside. Right?
Yeah.
Walk back out. How much
to see? Don't know.
Distance.
Don't know. Then the Torah has the din of the kiyar. You have to have the kiyar to do kiddush yadayim raglayim. The Rambam understands when the Gemara says at the end of brachas that everyone who wakes up in the morning has to wash until sadayim, say brach and until sadayim. That's because we're going to daven shachris, and the Rambam thinks the same applies to mincha and ma'ariv as well. You have to wash similar to the Beis Hamikdash. The Kohanim had to wash kiddush yadayim viraglayim. So we have to wash our hands before we daven shachris. Others disagree. They give other reasons why you have to wash until the sundown of the morning. Not so much because of tefillah, but the Rambam holds that it's based on this pasuk. And just like the Kohanim had to wash from the kiyar before they do hakrovus hakarbanis, you have to wash before shachris mincha ma'ariv. You have to have until the sundown. Okay, it's going to be an in Shabbos. Everyone is invited to come. We'll have a lot of speakers this Shabbos. Tov.
What is the Shabbos?
An in Shabbos. We're going to have 10 rabbonim giving brushes on Friday night. It'll be forever.